मिर्ज़ा पर, आओ हम नबी को पुरसादे अहले मातम, ये फर्श अज़ा, आओ हम जहरा को पुरसादे। बर मुहम्मद व आले मुहम्मद सलात।
ऐ फकीह हुसैन, ऐ हबीबे हुसैन, ऐ फकीह हुसैन, ऐ हबीबे हुसैन, ऐ फकीह हुसैन, ऐ हबीबे हुसैन, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, तुम्हारा दोस्त है तन्हा, तुम्हारा दोस्त है तन्हा, हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, शहीद कैसे हुआ वो बताओगे आकर, तुम हाले मुस्लिम बेकस सुनाओगे आकर, रुकैया तकती है रास्ता हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, लगाओ इससे भी अंदाज मेरी गुर्बत के, जहाँ पे इब्ने अली लिखना था वहाँ मैंने दिया है माँ का हवाला, दिया है माँ का हवाला, हबीब आ जाओ, हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ। वो जब ये सुनती है कूफे से आ रहे हैं शकी, तो पूछती है हमारा भी आएगा कोई, दुआएं देगी सकीना, हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, गवारा कर नहीं सकती हुसैन की गैर, तुम्हारी जौजा की चादर को लूट ले उम्मा, तुम उसको छोड़ के कूफा, तुम उसको छोड़ के कूफा, हबीब आ जाओ, ये ख़त्म शाह ने लिखा हबीब आ जाओ, और दरे बतूल दोबारा जलाया जाएगा, तुम्हारे दोस्त पे खंजर चलाया जाएगा, नहीं है वक्त ज्यादा, نہیں ہے وقت زیادہ حبیب آ جاؤ، یہ ختم شاہ نے لکھا حبیب آ جاؤ، یہ خط نہیں اس بہنوں کی آرزو سمجھو، ہمارے لفظوں کی زینب کی گفتگو سمجھو، یہ خط نہیں اس بہنوں کی آرزو سمجھو، ہمارے لفظوں کو زینب کی گفتگو سمجھو، بہن یہ کہتی ہے بھیا، بہن یہ کہتی ہے بھیا حبیب آ جاؤ، حبیب آ جاؤ، ختم شاہ نے لکھا حبیب آ جاؤ، تمہارا دوست ہے تنہا، تمہارا دوست ہے تنہا حبیب آ جاؤ، یہ ختم شاہ نے لکھا حبیب آ جاؤ، یہ ختم شاہ نے لکھا حبیب آ جاؤ، پر محمد و آل محمد صلوات.
May the efforts we are all putting towards the azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam be accepted by our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My esteemed scholars, my elders, brothers and sisters, salamun alaykum. It is truly an honor to be able to stand in front of you today with a heartfelt message about my love for our center, Hussaini Islamic Center, Peterborough. As part of the Muharram 2020 team, I stand with respect to appeal to you for your kind donations towards our program, the Al-Qayyim Project. Truth be told, I was one of the doubters of this project. I believed we were comfortable in our current center. Then something changed. One day, I came to mosque to help move some equipment while the madrasa program was going on. I walked into the hall where I am standing before you and my heart sank immediately. I looked around and saw three separate classes all congregated on the floor where I stand before you. The children were completing their madrasa workbooks and one student showed their teacher their work. His paper was riddled with holes where he had pressed too hard whilst writing. It was at that exact moment I realized that our current facilities were no longer adequate. Our madrasa has gone from 40 students when I was a little kid to over 270 students on one afternoon. These students represent 10 different nationalities that our volunteers teach. All of these students and teachers are lovers of the Ahlul Bayt. I stand before you today asking for something very simple. Please pick up your phone right now. Those on your phones, you're already there. A number is appearing on the screen. Add it to your contacts and send a simple message. I'm going to hang on while you add it to your contacts. Okay, are you ready? Just send this simple message. I would like to donate. There is no upper or lower limit. It is your intention that will stand you in good grounding as Sadqa al-Jariyah, where your rewards will be seen both in this world and in the hereafter. A wise man once told me, we all like investments. A simple investment into our project will give you dividends for eternity. Again, please see the number on the screen and simply message, I would like to donate. Our team will be in contact with you thereafter. From everyone who is watching from the comforts of their home, we all know someone who has made monumental efforts in providing us with a center we call Allah's home. Let us remember those who are no longer here with a heartfelt Surah Fatiha. Thank you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم، تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا، سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. How many of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his family were present at Karbala? How many were loyal to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam in the same way that they displayed loyalty to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family? Indeed, this question allows us to examine the 50 years after the death of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. For we know that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family died in the 11th year after Hijrah. And Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam died in the 61st year after Hijrah. The companions play a pivotal role in each and every school in the religion of Islam. Every single school in the Muslim world today, every school of thought reveres the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. But the scope of that reverence differs from one school to another, as in you may have one school that gives a complete blanket reverence to every single person who saw or met or talked or walked with the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. They say that all of these, there is an ultimate decency of all of them, that their actions are not to be questioned. And even if there are differences, we leave those differences, for they are part of a community that has now left us. Therefore, on one extreme, you have one group who will not open any discussion or even go to the legal system and say that anyone who discusses or questions the behavior or the actions of those who lived around the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, could be subject to a legal trial and punishment, as if these personalities around the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family, reach a level of infallibility. Then there are others who are a bit more moderate, who say that these are human beings like any other human beings, who are open to faults and mistakes, and that the Quran makes it clear to us that there's a difference between, for example, the ones of them who were with the Prophet from day one and those who joined, for example, in Medina. And then there's a difference between those who joined in Medina and those who converted to the religion of Islam after the opening of Mecca. The conquest of Mecca was a couple of years before the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family passed away. That conquest of Mecca, you had a number of people who on that day were known as tulaqa. Talaq, divorce, is the idea of you being released from, for example, something that you're held in. Tulaqa, therefore, refers to those who were released on the day of the opening of Mecca, let free, even though they had a history of crimes against the religion of Islam. You know, when you give amnesty to everybody on one day, those who have butchered your uncle's body, those who have harassed you, those who've tortured you, all of them are released on one day. Those personalities, when they're released and are known as tulaqa, in certain schools of theology, were never meant to be caliphs. Why? Because you can't determine if this person's converted because they actually believe in the religion or because they're scared of what could happen to them after all the crimes they've committed. How many times have you seen people who convert to the religion just for marriage, for example? He converts because he wants to marry a Muslim girl in the community. Of course, as soon as he says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, automatically he can get married to anyone in the community. His honor, his blood, his property is all sacred. Whether there's actual belief in there or not is a different question. Therefore, those who were released on the day of the opening of Mecca are those who in reality received amnesty from a prison sentence. Imagine you go to a prison now and you say to the head of the prison that please release everybody. It doesn't matter this person is a convict who has committed this crime or that crime, release them all. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, therefore, around him, the Quran makes it clear. There are those who in every situation, their example is divine. Like the verse I quoted at the beginning, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Those who are with him are firm against the disbelievers, but they're merciful amongst each other. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَضْوَانًا. You'll see them what? In ruku', in sujood, prostrating, bowing, receiving the bounties of Allah. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. You could see the marks of prostration that are on their foreheads from that prostration that they do. That's one group of companions. A middle group of companions, one may argue, are those who, for example, had moments of loyalty and moments of disloyalty. For example, on the day of Uhud, the Quran says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad is but a messenger of Allah. Messengers have come before him. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عَقَابِكُمْ. If he dies, or rather he is killed, you turn on your heels and run away. As in, you're his companions, you're meant to be loyal to him. If you hear that he's alive or dead, you can't run away from a battlefield. That's a middle group. Then you have the third group, a dangerous group. What is it? The hypocrites. When a whole chapter of the Holy Quran is called munafiqun. A munafiq is someone who publicly is the most religious person you'll ever see. His beard is always well kept. The sibha is always with him. Walking around everywhere, dressed always religiously. But you find that the same person deep down has no belief. And the Quran would say to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The hypocrites come to you and they say, you are the messenger of Allah. Of course, the hypocrite's a liar. He doesn't believe it. Therefore, those who were around the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, those who were around were made up of those who were the best of the best, of those whose faith had peaks and troughs, of those who were convicts who were released on the day of Mecca, and of those who were hypocrites. And further than all of this, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family died in the 11th year after Hijrah, did all, for example, his companions die the same day as him? I ask you, when the Prophet passed away, did every companion die that day? No. There are companions who lived, for example, for a couple of years after the Prophet, peace be upon his family. There are some who lived to see Karbala. Like who? Who was alive at the time of Karbala? Ibn Abbas was around at the time of Karbala. Abdullah bin Umar was around at the time of Karbala. Zayd bin Arqam was around at the time of Karbala. Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'adi was around at the time of Karbala. Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari was around at the time of Karbala. There are those who continue to live even after Karbala. There are those who lived 90 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died. Therefore, when I examine the presence of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi at Karbala, this is a fundamental question. Why? Because for us, your decency isn't about how you lived with the Prophet. It's about how you lived and maintained your principles to the day you went to your grave. Imagine that I'm someone with the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, and I'm the most loyal person. But then after the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family dies, I see oppression, I remain silent. After the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family dies, I am willing to raise armies against his own family. What position does that put me in? Because that's a position many Muslims have not resolved. Is a person who lived around, or a person who lived around the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, is the criteria that he saw the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, or he remained loyal to the principles of the Prophet and his family? Therefore, in tonight's examination, we ask this question, that if you met the grandfather of Hussein, alayhi salam, were you there loyal to Hussein, alayhi salam, on the plains of Karbala? Or did you turn a blind eye to Karbala? Were there companions who had met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi and reminded others, do you not remember that day when Hussein was in his lap? Do you not remember that day? Have you forgotten that day when he talked about Hussein? Did they live to see Karbala? Let's tonight examine the presence or not of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. And I'd like to do this in the following stages. Number one, does it make a difference to the truthfulness of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam whether the companions are with him or not with him? Number two, if the companions do end up fighting each other, then how do we know what the barometer of truth is in the religion of Islam? Number three, the companions who didn't come to Karbala, what were their reasons for not coming? And how did Imam al-Hussein tell one famous one of them that leave me alone? Do you think that I will be embarrassed in front of my Lord for not enjoining the good and forbidding the evil? Number four, those companions who did turn up, such as Anas ibn al-Harith al-Kahili and Abdullah bin Abid Rabbih al-Ansari and Muslim bin Awsaja and Habib ibn Madahir, what were their backgrounds? How had they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi? And how did they show on the plains of Karbala? We'll never forget what your grandfather said. We'll remain loyal to the family of Ali, for they're the family of the merciful. And we stay away from the family of Harb, for they're the family of Shaitan. Let's examine this and dissect the topic in complete depth. Does it make a difference if a companion of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, was with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam or not? In the sense that, is Imam al-Hussein's message and stand at Karbala relying on the presence of a companion on his side? As in, is it an honor for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam to have a companion with him? Or is it an honor for the companion to have Imam al-Hussein alongside him? When we look at this, the answer is that it really doesn't make too much of a difference whether a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was alongside Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam or not on the plains of Karbala. For what reason? Because the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi can never be a litmus test of the truth when a battle occurs. For which reason? Had the companions in their history all been on the same side of an army when a battle took place, then I'd know the truth straight away. The problem is that after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, I saw companions of his who were in battles. If they were in those battles, all on one side, say there was 400 on one side, and there were zero on the other, then I would say that the litmus test of who's right on the day of Jamal is of course those with the companions with him. But then when I look at the battle of Jamal, I realize the companions can never be the litmus test of truth. Because on the day of Jamal, the companions were raising swords against one another. What do I mean? In the army of Imam Ali alayhi salam, do you know how many of the Muhajirun and Ansar were in the army of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam on the day of Jamal? 25 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, 400 companions of his were on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Of those 400 companions, you had some greats, as in personalities whose schools of Islam revere. As in, for me, enough is that Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein are there. I don't really need to see anyone else. But say, you had, for example, those who revere Ibn Abbas, those who revere, for example, others such as Ammar bin Yasir. Those were all on the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But who was on the other side? More companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. More in which sense? Not more than 400. But there were others who were on the side of who? Of the wife of the Prophet. You had, for example, Talha was on that side. You had Zubair was on that side. If I was standing on the day of Jamal, and you know, sadly, many non-Shia are not allowed to discuss the battle of Jamal. Because the moment you begin to discuss the battle of Jamal, what happens is that dominoes begin to fall. These people who you've told me are all one another, respectful, look after each other. How could they come and raise swords against each other? And when you raise swords against each other, there must be some cursing taking place. And the Prophet says, whoever curses one of my Sahaba is someone who's a disbeliever. Are you telling me when I raise swords against one another, there isn't cursing taking place on both sides? If I'm willing to kill you, I'm not willing to curse you. So you found on that day of Jamal, on one side, there were companions. On the other, there were companions. On one side, I saw those who people say, radiyallahu anhum, next to their name. And on the other, I saw those who people say, radiyallahu anhum, next to their name. Talha and Zubair are not minor companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. These are renowned companions. These are people who were there from the earliest days of Islam. Likewise, on the other side, Ibn Abbas, Ammar bin Yasir, these are not small companions. These are revered. Therefore, on that day, who is the litmus test of truth? Because when a person says to me that look towards where the Sahaba are, I get confused. Because if a person shows me a hadith, my companions are like stars. Some stars, no doubt, can guide the Arab on a journey. But there's other stars that don't guide me in any way. As in, when I look up at the stars, I may look for a certain star which will direct me. But there's many millions of other stars which are present, which don't necessarily direct me. Therefore, on that day of Jamal, one who says that the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi's companions on the side of an army gives me the truth, not at all. On that day, I see companions who come to war with one another. Let me give you another example. On the day of Siffin, you had on one side companions. Let's name them. Imam Ali alayhi salam on one side. You had, for example, Ammar bin Yasir on the side of Imam Ali at Siffin. Do we all agree with this? Ibn Abbas on the side of Imam Ali at Siffin. On the other side, let's name the companions. Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan. You had Amr ibn al-As. Walid bin Uqba. You had others who were present there as well. Imam Ali on his side had over 20 companions who fought on the Battle of Badr. They were on the side of Imam Ali. I ask you, these companions, do they not know what the truth is? As in 25 of them from the Battle of Badr say, we are loyal to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ammar bin Yasir on that day is with Imam Ali alayhi salam. If companions being present at a battle gives me guidance and is a litmus test for me, then on that day I'll be confused. Because I'll see that on one side, there are companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if they are tulaqa, even if they are released from the opening of Mecca, Muawiyah, Amr ibn al-As, Walid bin Uqba are counted as those who were sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on that side I see these. You found even the Muslims themselves got baffled by this equation. How? Didn't a person stand in the middle of battle and he looked towards Imam Ali alayhi salam? He said, I see on one side these people, Talha, Zubair, and so on. I see on the other these people, yourself, Ibn Abbas, Ammar. All of you are companions of the man who bought this religion. How do I verify who's right and wrong? What did Imam Ali alayhi salam say? Don't look at the personalities and then look at the truth. First look at the truth and then judge the personalities. What did that mean? Imam Ali alayhi salam was making it clear. Companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, can never be litmus test of truth. Because those battles, when I saw them on both sides, did not guide me. The only litmus test of truth was Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam was with the truth and the truth is with Ali. When the Prophet said these lines, famous lines, loving Ali is faith. Hatred of Ali is hypocrisy. When the Prophet said, I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. When the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, says, only Allah and me know Ali ibn Abi Talib. When the Holy Prophet comes line after line giving me direction, he's telling me, I leave behind for you two weighty things. Hold on to them. Is it the Quran and my companions? No. Is it the Quran and my Sunnah? No. It's the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt, salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. Therefore, if I'm stuck for guidance after the Prophet died, anyone can claim to be a guide after the Prophet. But the problem was, when I have a fallible person, please just work with me on this rationally. When I have someone who claims to be my leader who's fallible, why should I obey you if you're fallible and I'm fallible? Why should I obey you? For what reason? You're a normal human, I'm a normal human. You're making mistakes, I make mistakes. The rationality behind having someone infallible, continuing the message and guidance after the Prophet as the first Imam, was what? Was that he is infallible, I'm not, so I give my whole obedience to him. Otherwise, you bring me someone who's fallible after the Prophet's died, why should I go and follow this person? Who are you? You, for example, may be good in certain aspects of Islamic law. I'm good in certain aspects of Islamic theology. You may be good in Islamic political theory. I may be good in Islamic, for example, ethics. You're fallible. I'm fallible. You could be affected by shaitan. I could be affected by shaitan. But the man chosen on the day of Ghadir had a wilaya, which was which wilaya? The wilaya that his Lord showered him with a grace, where he is able to be protecting not only himself, but protecting others from that world of misguidance. Therefore, when it comes to Imam al-Husayn was honored by companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi being at Karbala? Not at all. It's them who are honored to know Husayn bin Ali. It's you who are honored to stand next to Husayn bin Ali. It's you who are honored to be even associated with the master of the youth of paradise. As in, when you're coming and telling me that someone who joined Imam al-Husayn or Imam Ali or Imam al-Hasan, look who's on his side, you want to follow and be happy and proud that he's on his side? He's proud that he's on the side of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Because you know what happened at Siffin? At Siffin, Muawiyah had a problem because some of his companions, when they killed Ammar bin Yasir, some of them were like, oh no, we've made a terrible mistake. What mistake have you made? They said that we've killed Ammar. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family said, whoever kills Ammar, the rebellious group of infidels, they're the ones who will kill Ammar. Now that we have killed Ammar, we are the rebellious group. So Muawiyah said, no, it's not you who've killed Ammar. It's Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, how? He said, because Ali ibn Abi Talib brought Ammar to Siffin with him. So therefore, Ali ibn Abi Talib killed him. To which Imam Ali alayhi salam replied by saying what? By saying that means Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed Hamza because he brought him with him to war. At that moment, do you know what was hurting Ammar? You have changed your minds because I'm with Ali. So the reason you found Haq was because I'm with Ali. All those traditions Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Ali, you have deleted. And now that you've seen me die, you're like, oh yeah, we've made a mistake. Ammar is dead. That means Ali's right. A companion can never honor an imam. An imam from the progeny of the Prophet, peace be upon his family, is a guidance who is given to us and chosen by the Lord, taught and raised by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he died 11th after Hijrah, the 11th year after Hijrah. His companions lived after him, and many were around when Karbala was happening. Let's see the ones who turned up and the ones who had no interest in turning up. In terms of the ones who had no interest or did not come to Karbala to be there alongside Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, you had who? First of them, Ibn Abbas. How many times do you hear Ibn Abbas narrates, Ibn Abbas narrates, Ibn Abbas was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a companion of who? And of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He fought alongside Imam Ali at Jamal, at Siffin, at Nahrawan. But sometimes, the end of your life, you all pray that, Ya Allah, keep me firm the way you kept me firm at the beginning of my life. Isn't that what we all pray for? That I don't want to just be religious and firm at the beginning. I want to die on the wilaya of Imam Ali alayhi salam and on the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Ibn Abbas was alive. He spoke to Imam al-Husayn before Imam al-Husayn went to Karbala. I'm amazed today when there are Muslims who compare Ibn Abbas to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Ibn Abbas tried it. He didn't do too well. Because Ibn Abbas told Imam al-Husayn, Husayn, don't go. These people, when you're going to go, they're going to be after you. They're going to attack you. I fear for you. Imam al-Husayn says to him, leave me. I don't want you to talk like this. Leave me. Do you think that I will stand in front of my Lord when I meet him saying that this ummah did not enjoin the good and forbid the evil. You're telling me that I shouldn't go? Firstly, who are you to tell me I shouldn't go? In reality, you, Ibn Abbas, are fallible like all other fallibles. All your knowledge that you gained is either through my father or through who? Or through Israelite traditions, for example. You have your tafsir of the Holy Quran, but the reality is, O Ibn Abbas, I am going out to enjoin the good, forbid the evil. You want to join? You join. You obey the Imam of your time. You don't want to join? It's up to you as well. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam never forced anyone to join him to Karbala. To highlight, there is no compulsion. I am not forcing you to be alongside me. But if you know my position and you know my status, I'm not just the young boy who's a grandkid of a prophet. I am someone who inherits the prophetic message of spirituality, of mysticism, of ethics, of theology, of law, and the most learned of the people here. You want to come and join me? You can join me. Did Ibn Abbas join him? No, Ibn Abbas remained behind. He left the chance to be alongside the helpers of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Someone might tell me that maybe Ibn Abbas did not know about Imam al-Husayn and Karbala. I'll prove that wrong in just a second. Therefore, the first companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was alive at the time of Karbala, did not help Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ibn Abbas. Second of them was alive at the time of Karbala, but did not come to the aid of Imam Hussein, Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari. We hear his name many times in Hadith al-Kisa, you always hear his name, and so on. In one narration, they say that Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari was an old, frail man, maybe needed guidance to even get to certain places, but he still had a conversation with Imam al-Hussein. And he said to him, Hussein, why don't you do what your brother Hassan did with Muawiyah? Why don't you do a treaty with him? And Imam al-Hussein makes it clear to him, you obey the Imam of your time. You don't question my decisions. I am the Imam of your time. You obey me. You don't offer your suggestions on these areas. But Jabir would come later on after Karbala, and he would come for the burial of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So at least he had a stand that when you hear Sayyid al-Shuhada has died, you don't just chill at home and say, sad news, you know, the grandson of the Prophet, peace be upon his family, has died. Jabir said, take me to Karbala. With Atiyya al-Awfi, they went to Karbala. He came towards the grave of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And we all know the lines when he screamed out, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Is this the way the beloved does not reply back to his lover? There was a sense in Jabir that he realized that how did I even think of questioning the motives of Sayyid al-Shuhada or giving him advice? Because you know, people say Imam al-Hassan signed a treaty with Muawiyah. Imam al-Hussein honored that treaty. Imam al-Hussein became Imam 10 years before Karbala. Many people think Imam al-Hussein becomes Imam, Karbala happens. Imam al-Hussein, Imam al-Hassan died in the 50th year after Hijrah. Karbala happened 61 after Hijrah. Imam al-Hussein honored the terms of the treaty his brother had made with Muawiyah. Until the last term of the treaty, when Muawiyah appointed Yazid, only then Imam al-Hussein said, a man like me doesn't pledge allegiance to a man like him. We've made a treaty with him. Every part of the treaty is broken. So Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari was around. He did not come to the aid of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Number three, who was also around? There are two companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who were around but didn't come to Karbala. But when they heard the news of what happened, they narrate for us in a heartbroken way. One of them, the narrator of the famous hadith, I leave behind for you two weighty things. Hold on to them and you will never go astray. The Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. Who? Zayd bin Arqam. You would have heard his name. Zayd bin Arqam. If you go to Sahih Muslim, all of you tonight, if people ask you, you know, you guys believe that the Prophet said something at a place called Khum. You know, we have Eid al-Ghadir, Ghadir Khum. Just go onto Google, Sahih Muslim, type K-H-U-M-M, and see the famous hadith. The Prophet stopped at Ghadir Khum, like an oasis watering valley, and he said, I leave behind for you the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. As in, is there any more proof that a barometer is needed for truth? So this Zayd bin Arqam, where was he? He was in Kufa, did not come to Karbala. What did Zayd narrate? Zayd narrated that I saw Ibn Ziyad poking the eyes and the lips of the head of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imagine, you can read this, by the way, in the Sahih as well. Ibn Ziyad had the head of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam next to him. And this is where Islam went, sadly. As in, I always say that the day of Ghadir, the moment we left the man chosen on the day of Ghadir, anyone could become a leader. And the problem is a very nasty person could become a leader. And his comrades can come into power. And they won't have a limit. Zayd bin Arqam said, I saw them poke the eyes and the lips of Imam al-Husayn. And he said to Ibn Ziyad, that's the same person who I saw my prophet kiss him, shower him with kisses, like any grandfather would do. And Ibn Ziyad said, if it wasn't for the fact that you're of old age, I would have finished you off right now. That Zayd bin Arqam helped us even with Masa'ib, because people sometimes ask, how do you know what took place in Karbala and Kufa and Sham? Well, we have companions who were alive who saw the head of Imam al-Husayn being taken from Karbala towards Kufa, towards Sham. So of them, Zayd bin Arqam. Did he join Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam? No, he was in Kufa, could have come to Karbala. Why do I stress on this? There were 95-year-olds at Karbala. There were 93-year-olds at Karbala. There were 89-year-olds at Karbala. I'm telling you, sometimes our grandparents are stronger than us on certain things. We think that we're stronger than our elders. Some of them can teach us the meaning of strength, perseverance, physically and mentally. I don't care if you're 85, you're 87. Why did you not come to Karbala? Why? You know the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is in a position where he's standing up against the family of Abu Sufyan. At least try and stand and at least come and say something. Therefore, Zayd bin Arqam did not come. Another companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who was alive at the time of Karbala, Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi. Who did he meet? He was in Sham, seeing Sham having a carnival. Sham had a carnival. This religion, the religion of Islam that I follow, I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, 50 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died, you have a whole carnival to celebrate the killing of his grandchildren. That's not an insult. That doesn't make you reflect where Islam went. Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'di goes, I looked around, I'm thinking, why is everyone partying in Sham? He came to someone, he said to him, excuse me, why is everyone having a party? Is it a day of Eid? He said to him, you must be an Arab nomad. Don't you know what's happened? He said, no, tell me. He said, I'm Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'di, I'm companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. What's going on? Why are you guys partying? He said, don't be surprised if the heavens cry and the earth swallows its inhabitants. That's the head of Hussein bin Ali on the spear. He said, Hussein bin Ali, the grandson, the master of the youth of paradise? He said, yes. He said, who's that one with the chains on him? He said, that's Ali ibn al-Hussein, Zain al-Abidin. He came to him, he said, oh Ali ibn Hussein, I'm Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'di, companion of your great-grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He said to him, oh Sahal, go and get us a piece of cloth. Why cloth? Sahal went, he bought some cloth, he brought it back. Imam Zain al-Abidin placed the cloth between the chain and the neck. He said, Sahal, since Karbala, this chain has been cutting through my neck. And Sahal says, I looked around, I saw Zainab alayhi salam, and I saw others being chained and taken from one place to another. This Sahal bin Sa'd al-Sa'di was what? Was a companion of Rasulullah. He was on his way to Bayt al-Maqdis. Not even Karbala. Therefore, you had companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi who did not join Imam al-Husayn at all. Nor did they necessarily make a great stand. They were doing their own thing with their own ways. That's one group. You had others who were companions of Imam Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who did not come to Karbala because they were killed before Karbala. For example, Abdullah bin Yaqtar, he was a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He was asked, curse Ali and curse Hussein in Kufa. Because you know, people have this impression that the whole of Kufa let Imam al-Hussein down. What, 90% of the army of Imam al-Hussein is Kufan. So how could you say Kufa let Imam al-Hussein down? They say, no, but Ahl al-Bayt even told the people, yes, Ahl al-Bayt told those who did not stand up. There were many who stood up who were executed. This myth that people bring up, that you Shia are the killers of Imam al-Hussein. The reason you do Ma'tam and Latmiyyah and Nadbiyyah and so on is because you're guilty of what you've done. Companions I've just mentioned to you, Jabir bin Abdullah Ansari, Ibn Abbas, Zayd bin Arqam, Sahl bin Sa'ad, Abdullah bin Umar ibn al-Khattab knew that Imam al-Hussein went to Karbala. Do you know what he ends up doing? Giving pledge of allegiance to Yazid. Abdullah bin Umar, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, gives a pledge of allegiance to Yazid because he lived until 73 after Hijrah. Umar ibn al-Khattab's son. Abdullah bin Umar pledges allegiance. Now today you ask non-Shia, do you like Yazid? They say, we don't like Yazid. Nor do we praise Yazid. Yazid was wrong. This Abdullah bin Umar, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, pledges allegiance to Yazid. And I don't know even what he did with Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. Yes, later on, when he's asked the question, he says, you people, you killed Hussein bin Ali. But where did you help Hussein bin Ali? Then they said, Kufa killed Imam al-Hussein. I replied by saying, so where was Mecca and Medina? Imam al-Hussein started from Kufa his journey. Medina, silent. Mecca, silent. Don't blame Kufa. Medina and Mecca should share much of the blame. For they saw the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi with people wanting to kill him. And they're remaining silent, looking after themselves. Therefore, you had some companions like Abdullah bin Yaqta, who were in Kufa. They asked him, curse Ali, curse Hussein. He said, never. They executed him there and then. He's a companion of the Prophet, peace be upon his family, could not make it to Karbala. Then who did you have? You had the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who met him, saw him, had hadiths from him, and made it to Karbala. Allah. Who were these companions? The ones who had met Al Muhammad. How honored are these personalities that they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And they met Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they met Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. And they not only met Sayyid al-Shuhada when he was younger, but they stood alongside Imam al-Hussein. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum. For example, who? Number one, Anas ibn al-Harith al-Kahili. Anas ibn Harith al-Kahili, he and his father were companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Anas bin Harith and his father. His father was one of Ashab al-Suffa, the poor of the community. They used to be around the mosque of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. They were like masakin. People would come and they'd look after them and help them. Anas ibn al-Harith was alongside his father when he saw one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi with Imam al-Hussein as a young man in his lap. And he said, this Hussein of mine will be killed in the land of Iraq. If you hear about this, go and support him. Don't leave him alone. Go and support him. There is no way that you people would leave this son of mine. Look how much I love him. But also, this is a person who's your guide. Anas ibn al-Harith, therefore, had seen Imam al-Hussein when he was young. He had seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi say he will be killed in a land called Iraq. You know, Muslims had not really entered Iraq at that time. Kufa was entered and made a garrison town 6 years after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi died. So therefore, when he mentions Iraq, the people know of Iraq, but they don't really know that there is an empire and a caliphate and so on. That only emerges later. He said, this Hussein in my lap will be killed in Iraq. When you hear, go and support him. Go and help him. There were many others who heard this, by the way. But Anas showed there's a difference between hearing and implementing. A true Husseini doesn't just hear wise words. They implement them in their lives. Anas fought with Rasulullah alongside him. Where? Badr and at Hunayn. And this same Anas, by the time of Karbala, do you know what they used to say about him? He was so old that his eyebrows had come down up virtually just over his eyes that he had to tie them up so that he could see. And he was the one who came to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam at his old age. I'm talking, if he's a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, let's say minimum 75, for example, 80 years of age. He knew that the Prophet had guided him on this area. He came to Imam al-Hussein. It was difficult. And I've always said this. I don't know if we would have made it to Karbala. It's all well and good 1,000 years later. All of us saying we would have been there. Kufa, it was a difficult time. Ibn Ziyad had surrounded the city. This 75, 80-year-old was thinking, shall I, shouldn't I? He spoke with Ubaidullah bin Hur al-Ja'fi and others until he reached Karbala, stood next to Imam al-Hussein. And you know, Imam al-Hussein's akhlaq is so high. You are the companions of my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, if you notice with his companions, he'd always thank them for their years of service. This is a lesson for us. Sometimes we have people in our community, we don't thank them. We may sit and say they're good people, but you don't see us thank them. Be grateful. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When you give shukr, I'll give you more. Shukr to Allah, but also shukr to the creation of Allah. Imam al-Hussein would always tell John, you have served us so much. He would say, Anas, you've served us already so much. You don't have to go out. And when Imam al-Hussein would look at Imam al-Hussein, how old was he at Karbala? 57 years of age. So when he'd see Anas, Anas to him is elder. Anas would turn around and say, oh, Imam al-Hussein, how do I answer your grandfather, Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, except by supporting you? But Imam, give me one honor. He said, what is it? He said, let me go and speak to Umar bin Sa'd. He said, let me go and speak to him. And he went towards him to speak to him. Umar bin Sa'd said, assalamu alaykum. He said to him, well, why are you not replying to my salam? You don't think I'm a believer? He said, no, I don't know. You're not a Muslim. He said, a person like you fights the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. How could you? How could you accept this? You know what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said about him. Umar bin Sa'd turned around and said, yeah, I know it's true. It will result in me going to hell, but what can I do? Ibn Ziyad's made the decision. Don't let peer pressure stop you guys from coming towards the path. Sometimes your peers tell you, don't be religious, you're too young, enjoy life. Don't let them do that to you. You've got your qabr, they have their qabr. You have your choice, they have their choice. He said to him, then that's enough. And he walked away. And when he walked away, he came to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said, Imam al-Hussein, I'm here for you. And here, in honor of your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Look how he says, I'm honored to be alongside Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And he comes out and he addresses every tribe that's in the army of Umar bin Sa'd one by one. And then he says to them, I approach those who fight me like a roaring lion. Who would say that in their 80s? Who would say that? Unless the adrenaline is an adrenaline pumping with wilaya. He said that I will fight all of you like a roaring lion and defend the family of Ali, for they are on the path of the compassion. And fight the family of Harb, for they are on the path of Shaitan. Simple. He fought valiantly until his soul rested and returned back to his Lord. You had number two, Abdullah bin Abd Rabbih al-Ansari. Abdullah bin Abd Rabbih al-Ansari is one of those who was at Ghadir. You want to see loyalty? Abdullah bin Abd Rabbih al-Ansari. He was at Ghadir. Why? Because when Imam Ali alayhi salam, 20 odd years after Ghadir, 24 years after Ghadir, asked people in the Ruhba area, he said to them, that which ones of you saw when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said, man kuntu mawla fahadha alayhi, which one of you, are you prepared to put your hand up and admit? Of them, there were 12, 13. Of them was who? Abdullah bin Abd Rabb al-Ansari. I was one of those. I saw the Holy Prophet, peace be upon his family, announce you on the day of Ghadir. This Abdullah bin Abd Rabb al-Ansari, loyal to Al Muhammad throughout, was there at Karbala. Companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Companion of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. Companion of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Stood there. Sayyid al-Shuhada, I'm alongside you. Imam al-Hussein, I'm alongside you. And he stood alongside Imam Hussein. I remember he had a conversation with Borer. Borer didn't smile much. And he was on the side of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He saw Abdullah bin Abd Rabb al-Ansari smiling. And he said to him, this is not a day to smile. And Abdullah bin Abd Rabb al-Ansari looked at him. He said, the reason I smile is what? Life has been a struggle. And it's complete with Hussein bin Ali. And now what awaits us are the heavens and the hur that are awaiting us. That's why I smile. Otherwise, there's no other reason for me to smile. He went out on the battlefield that day, fought valiantly, gave his life away. Imam al-Hussein came like he did with Anas, carried his body back as well. carried Abdullah bin Abd Rabbi al-Ansari's body. Others, Kanana Taghlubi, companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam al-Husayn came, carried his body back as well. Others, for example, who? Harth, who was of the servants of Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib. Imam al-Husayn came, he carried his body as well. Who else? Jabir, cousin of Abu Dhar al-Ghafari, was with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam al-Husayn, he came to Abu Abdullah, I'm alongside you, like I was alongside your grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, went out, fought, again he came back, Imam al-Husayn, when he died, carried his body back as well. So you had companion after companion, not just Imam al-Husayn's companion, these were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, either as horse riders, either as swordsmen, they had sat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And truly the Quran in Surah 33 verse 23, when the Quran says that from the believers there are men who held on to the covenants they made with Allah. Some of them have gone, some are waiting for their turn. And they never have changed one bit. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. They were the same with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They didn't let down the Prophet after he died. They didn't hurt his family. They remained loyal. And none like a combination of who? Muslim bin Awsajah and Habib bin Mudahir. You want to see a combination of loyalty of two companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who are now where? Who are now coming towards Karbala. And it wasn't easy to get to Karbala. I tell you, on a dark night in Kufa, when Ibn Ziyad has surrounded the whole city, can you make it out? You can if you want to. There are some who said it's too dangerous. There are some who said, I cannot attend. There are some who made excuses. We can be the same, by the way. Today, you will find it could be the same in our communities. There may be a program at the mosque at some time. I can't go. It's not the right time. I'm busy. This. They, Muslim bin Awsajah and Habib bin Mudahir, knew that if we let down Hussein, we've let down Rasulullah. Because what? Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he said, Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Allah loves the one who loves Hussein. Habib ibn Mudahir, Muslim bin Awsajah. They are there. Muslim bin Awsajah had tried his hardest to protect Muslim bin Aqil, like Habib ibn Mudahir. But Ibn Ziyad, with his spies, had overcome the companions of Muslim bin Aqil. He killed Muslim. He killed Hani bin Urwa. He killed others. Muslim bin Awsajah, Habib ibn Mudahir, grown up with Imam al-Husayn. One much older, the other similar ages. They had grown up with each other. They loved each other. And you found that Muslim bin Awsajah, both of these, memorizers of the Quran, scholars, these aren't just companions, these are scholars of ilm. And they were there, and you found Muslim bin Awsajah that night left Kufa, made it to Karbala. He embraced Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And this Muslim bin Awsajah has certain stands on the 10th of Muharram, which are the most unbelievable stands you'll ever come across. Muslim bin Awsajah comes towards who? This was a valiant warrior, by the way, Muslim bin Awsajah. He had fought in Azerbaijan. He was a ferocious warrior, but he was a man of great principle. This man, Muslim bin Awsajah, night of the 10th of Muharram, he hears Zainab alayhi salam speak to Imam al-Husayn. Are you sure all of them are loyal? And he's the one who came out and he said that you want to ask us about our loyalty. It's an honor for us to be alongside Imam al-Husayn Karbala. And if we are going forward and we're killed and we die and we're cut into pieces, if that can happen to us 1,000 times again, it would be an honor for this man. He gave Zainab that peace of heart that she needed. And then he came towards Imam al-Husayn. Imam had put a fire trench outside to not get attacked on the night of the 10th of Muharram. Shimr bin Diljoshan looked towards Imam al-Husayn and he said to him, Hussein, are you preparing yourself for the fire of hell already? Muslim bin Awsa just stood up. He said, no way, no way. He said, Abu Abdullah, let me kill him. Give me the chance to kill him. Imam said, we don't start wars. We are a family of principles. We don't start wars. He said, I beg you, let me kill him. How dare he speak like that to you? So he was there, Muslim bin Awsajah. Muslim bin Awsajah Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and Habib ibn Mazahir, best friends. Habib was trying to get to Karbala. Problem was the gates all closed to leave Kufa. His wife was sitting with him. They were having a meal. And she said to him, "What are you waiting for? When are you leaving? You're not going to leave the son of Fatima alone. When are you leaving?" He said, "I'm going to go now." And he had his son Qasim. Qasim was Habib's son. He looked towards him. He said farewell to him, said farewell to wife. Wife, just before he left, said, "Do me one favor. Tell Imam al-Hussein that we love him and that we wish we could have given more to him." He left. He reached Karbala. And when he reached Karbala, when Imam al-Hussein saw him, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was so pleased to see him. Because he knew it's different when Habib is there and when Muslim is there. And he knew he had lost Muslim bin Awsajah. He had lost Muslim bin Aqil. And the moment they embraced each other, at that moment a message came. Zainab wants to say salam to Habib. What level must you be on for Zainab alayhi salam to be so pleased to see you? He came, he said his salams to Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam, and he looked across and he realized that this is going to be difficult now. But we will hang in there. And we, the companions of your grandfather and your father, will never let you down. We're going to be there. We're going to stand alongside you. And that's why every year, what do we cry out? As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Peace be upon you, O companions of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. Some of those I mentioned, 50 odd of them died straight away. How? Because you know when they shoot arrows from the other side, you all die. Isn't it? The other army knows they're clever. They have thousands, they don't have many. They shot arrows, 50 died. How many left? 20 odd. And one by one they came. Muslim bin Awsajah came to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He said, "Imam, let me go out and fight. You're looking at this man, companion, but friend of yours as well. Loyal lover of Ahlul Bayt. And cousin of Habib ibn Mazahir. Muslim bin Awsajah is Asadi. Habib ibn Mazahir is Asadi." You look at them, they knew at that moment that this is going to be extremely difficult for each other. Muslim bin Awsajah came out. He called out in front of everybody one by one that we're loyal to his family and his father and we'll fight all of you ferociously. He fought all of them ferociously one by one. A valiance and a bravery like the bravery of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. At every moment that he'd strike one of them, he'd turn around and look towards Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He continued to fight valiantly until Umar bin Sa'ad realized. He realized that, look, this person one-on-one, you can't fight him. He's trained with Ali ibn Abi Talib. So what must you do? Surround him from every angle. My dear brothers and sisters, every time I read the maqtal of Muslim bin Awsajah, it hurts me every time because I imagine what a scene. What's the scene? There's a scene that I imagine every year and every time I read his masa'ib. The maqatil say he had so many injuries on his body. He didn't just die, he had these injuries all over his body. I believe that there's a reason that he didn't die straight away. I believe there's a reason that he didn't die straight away. What line? There are some great lines on the 10th of Muharram, but there's one line in particular that highlights the greatness of the companions of Imam al-Hussein. Which line? when he was lying on the ground with injuries all on his body, Habib ibn Mudahir came rushing to him. Imam al-Husayn was on the other side. Imam recited the ayah of the Quran that I mentioned to you, that there are rijal amongst the believers that they held on to the covenant they made with Allah. At that moment, Habib came towards the face of Muslim and he looked towards the eyes that were injured of Muslim. He said to him, "Oh Muslim, if I hadn't known that I would also die and join you shortly, I would fulfill your will for you." Muslim bin Aus said at that moment when he heard Habib say to him that I would fulfill your will if there's anything that you want me to do. What was the reply of Muslim bin Awsajah when he heard Habib say this to him? He looked towards him and he said, "Awsika bihada al-ghareeb, ghareeb al-ghadriya." If you want to know what my will is, my will, protect the stranger of Karbala. That's all I ask you. Imagine your final words before you die is protect the imam of your time. وصيك بالغريب بهذا الغريب غريب الغاضرية. He laid him and he took him back. Habib ibn Mudahir then went out and he fought 62 of them. He killed until Buraid and others attacked Habib ibn Mudahir. Do you know how hard it was for Imam al-Husayn to carry Muslim and Habib back? My dear brothers, when Anas died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. When Abdullah bin Abid Rabbih died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. When Muslim bin Awsajah died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. When Habib bin Mudahir died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. When John died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. When Hur died, Imam al-Husayn carried his body back. I ask you from the bottoms of your hearts, wherever you may be, every one of you who remembers the zari of Imam al-Husayn at this moment, who carried the body of Imam al-Husayn back when he died, the horses of Bani Umayyah kicked his body one away and the other. I want to leave you with this final narration. Remember when Habib left his house, he had a son called Qasim. You all remember him, yes? When the heads came back to Kufa, the narrator mentions that the heads were being carried and they were rolling in the ground. One of the horse riders, he looked at this young boy who came towards him. He said to him, "Young man, why have you been following me all this time?" The young boy didn't say anything. He was just looking at one of the heads in front of him. He said to him, "Young man, why have you followed me? Tell me. The young boy would not open up and tell him. Why? Because the young boy had an amana from his mother.
mother, go and see our Qasim. If your father's head is with the other heads in Kufa, the poet describes this wonderfully. Qasim, when he looked at the head of his father, what did he say? I don't know, I don't know whether to say to my mother, I've seen you or I haven't. If I say, oh father, that I've seen your head, she'll break down. But if I say I haven't, she may wonder about your loyalty to Abu Abdullah. What was the second thing that he said? But father, 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 how lucky you are that your head is next to the head of Abbas bin Ali. Allahu Akbar. Father, when I see your head next to Abbas and next to Hussein, and father, listen to this line, when I see your head looking down, it showed your respect for Zainab's head looking up, that you could not bear to see Zainab's wounds. Father Habib, my heart breaks when I see what they've done to you. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, raise us with the beloved loyal companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Allow us, Ya Allah, the ziyarah of Shuhada Karbala, Ansar al-Hussein alayhi salam. May Allah bless us that we meet one day Anas ibn al-Harith, or we meet Muslim bin Aus Saja, or Habib ibn Madahir, and the other companions, Ya Allah. For all of the originators of the Majlis, for the Al-Qa'im Mosque Project, Ya Allah, bless them and allow them to complete their work. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our beloved Kulthum, who died a few years ago, a young girl that we all remember her in our du'as, our beloved Kulthum from Blackburn. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah Al-Fatiha, but before it, the loudest of your salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ya Hussein, 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 Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein. Ae Muslima, kaash socha hota ke Muhammad ka nawasa hai ye.
Ae Muslima, kaash socha hota ke Muhammad ka nawasa hai ye. Musalman, kaash socha hota ke Muhammad.